has to have ready staff coming through. So now he's had to plan to train more and more staff. The very next week, we were at another business. Those businessmen are probably here today. We went to another business that hadn't. He'd come and prayed down here, and I'd sort of seen a picture of a snake around him as I laid hands on him, and I said, let's go down and pray for the business. He hadn't had a phone call for a long time. We went down, and Dion and I went, and we got around the table in his factory, and we got the word out, and while we're praying over the word, he hadn't had a customer for so long, and a customer walked in the door. It was such a surprise that I had to draw his attention. That's a customer. There's a customer. You've got a customer. I don't know, he might have forgotten what a customer looked like, but that was what, that's a customer. And he went off and Dion and I got on our knees and started to continue to pray and seek God. And I asked the businessman after that what happened. All week long, the next week, the phone was just ringing hot. From no customers to suddenly all customers. What was the difference? God unlocked something for him from the covenant. We went up to another man's business, and Bill, myself, and Dion, we got around the boardroom table there, and this particular businessman had asked if he could, if we could pray over his online business. It was a sort of a secondary business, sort of his main business was here, but this was something else. He wanted to dedicate a day to serving the Lord amongst business people in this church, and he wanted to increase their income through this new-ish online business. So what did we do? See if you can remember. We went to the covenant. We got on our knees and we began to pray. So we finished that time. It was intense. It was wonderful. And by the end of the day, I happened to run into his wife and I said, how's things going? And she said, today was the biggest day that they've ever had in that online business. That day, the day that in the morning of that day, we got on our knees and started to confess the covenant and remind God of his covenant. That day, the next day was just as big. And when I saw them at church on Sunday, it was continuing to soar at this very high level. How is that for you? I said, he said, we're a bit worried. Why is that? We're running out of stock. This produced another problem. A problem that had been unforeseen because God acted so quickly, so instantly regarding a reminding of his covenant through people who are prepared to humble themselves and pray, that to this day they've got a problem with stock. They just can't get it out of China fast enough. It led to a point where it actually dried up for a patch. And you know, that's not good in business, is it? I remember when Brendan ran out of coffee one time. That's not a good thing, is it, when you run a coffee business, you know? You've got to get the product. Customers need. So reminding God of his business. We're continuing to pray. If you've got a business and you want Dion or Bill or myself, if I'm free, to come and pray and speak the covenant of God over your business, I'm telling you, we're seeing the power of God move. That's not just a matter of praying a light prayer. That is engaging God. Can you see that that's different? You are a born again, blood washed. By that I mean the blood of Jesus Christ has washed your sins away. He says that you now have inherited every spiritual blessing. It's yours. He says that one day you will rule and reign with him. It says that will happen forever. He says that you will judge angels. Samuel 17, you're probably already there. And we're going to look at this. Many of you heard this story, if not as children, as grown up, you would have heard this account in the Bible of David and the giant. We're going to look at it from a different perspective, of a covenant perspective. Now, the picture of here is the army of Israel is camped and the opposite, a valley, where there's another army, the Philistine army, and every day for 40 days, this massive man, they say 9 feet tall, walked out and issued a challenge to the Israeli army. And the Israeli army would all come out. You know, they've had their lunch, they've been thinking all day, but They've got probably a little bit complacent in this, but they've all run out at that time of day because King Saul, their commanding king, is out there in his armor, and they're all standing facing in a battle formation the other enemy, the Philistines. And then out thumps this great man, and they're all watching him. And he's saying, "Send me one man, just one man. We're going to do business together. We'll fight. And if I beat him, then your nation will be subservient to our nation. But if you win, if your man beats me, then our nation, the Philistines, will be subservient to your nation." It was a direct challenge. Now the Bible says, and we're not going to go into every detail there, but the whole of the Israel army ran away. Saul included, ran away. But it says that they ran in great fear. Let's have a look at that in verse 23. David had come down from his shepherding job. He was looking after some sheep for his father. His father decided he wanted to send some goods to his sons. There were three of Jesse's sons at the battle. He wanted to send some goodies down there, like all dads do. They want to make sure their sons are looked after. But he also sent some beautiful items of cheese to the commanding officer. Even back there, it's the same as today. Look after the guy that's in charge of your sons and they'll be looked after. So that happened back there as well. So David, in verse 22, left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army who are out now in battle formation facing the Philistines, came and greeted his brothers. So there was no real action about to happen in terms of the army, because David ran in amongst them and greeted them. "Hi guys, how you going? Hi. They weren't really ready for battle, but they were out there facing the Philistine army. And at that point, as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. And we're going to look at a couple of issues here around the human life. The psyche of the human being, how we actually function, what makes us motivated, what just closes us down and shuts us down. And the very first thing in this story that shuts men down is fear. And if you've been around any length of time, you know, you look back across your life and you think of times when you wanted to step out and do something, but the thing that stopped you was that you were afraid. This is a terrible, capricious thing that can get into the human psyche. And often, there is no validation to the fear, the thing that brought you fear. Sometimes your mind can just go into overdrive and create a whole scene out of the Lord of the Rings and these massive animals and giants that are coming to kill you. And all that's happened was that your child cut his finger. You know, you're thinking, you know, malaria, polio, you know, death, you know, amputation of arms up to my neck, you know, and all this sort of thing. The mind goes into overdrive once fear gets in. In any God-sized adventure, you will face this thing. And it will and can cripple you and paralyze you and stop you and put you into inactivity and shut you down every time if you will let it. It might be the financial thing. Your bills have come in and just shut you down. You don't know what to do. A new job, a new venture. Reaching out to people with the gospel. You might be afraid of getting married or afraid of any kind of relationships. Afraid of talking to people. Sickness. You might be afraid that when the doctor said, "Look, I want you to come in and see me." I had this the other day. I go for my annual medical and they say, "You're a picture of perfect human health for your age." I always say, "For your age." But then he called me up after my blood test and said, "I need to see you." "What's it about?" "I'll tell you when you come in." Rats, I thought, there's $110. I would rather if he'd just told me over the phone. But then always you're thinking, why would he call me in when I'm a picture of perfect human health for my age? And he came in and he said, you need to cut out the food a bit, mate. You put on a bit of weight. I said, "Really? Okay, fantastic, great. Thanks for that, $110. But you know, for some people, you know, there's that, what's it about? Or someone gives you those words, you've got terminal cancer. Or you've got this disease. And the human race has already decided that there's no response. We don't have a response for that disease. That disease means that you may die. And suddenly fear grips your heart. And no matter how well you've been trained in faith, it can get you. And it can shut you down very quickly. So it's very important that you know what to do when these things come. Facing any type of opposition, stepping out into something new, trusting God with your life. Fear can cripple you. God calls you to the mission field and you say, no, I don't know what to do, I'm afraid. It can shut you down. What did David do? David's response, we're going to look at his responses. David heard those words, and then it says there, so the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who's come up? Surely he's come up to defy Israel, and it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich him with great riches and give him his daughter, give him his father's house, exemption from taxes in Israel. David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? He just heard what was going to be done. But now he's gone to another group of people and inquires there for a second time. And he said, for this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God. And the people answered him in the same manner, saying, so it shall be done for the man who kills him. And they started to talk about the king's reward for the man that kills Goliath. And so what did David do when the whole army ran away? David started to change his attitude and say, well, what if I am the one that goes out to fight him? What is the reward? What is the benefit to me for pushing through fear and not having a spirit of fear, but as the Bible says, of power and of love and of a sound mind? What is the benefit? What is the reward for you to face that fear and to overcome that fear, whatever that thing is? He said, this is a man who defies the armies of the living God. He picked it correctly. What David was doing was that he was getting a God perspective on this situation. According to the human race, cancer, certain type of cancers are incurable. Certain diseases aren't. But what does God say? What does the Lord God Almighty say? He is a covenant God. Don't listen to what people say, because every member of the Israel army was saying, these are the rewards, but not one of them was prepared to go out and trust God for it. But David was of a different spirit. His heart was different. He had to hear the rewards. He heard the rewards there twice, and he's still inquiring, what shall be done? Because in his heart, he had determined, if no one else is going to go out there, I'll go out. In fact, we see it down a little bit later. He says to Saul, I'll go. So he was determined. Are you determined to push through? It's just, after all, a human-sized problem. Doesn't matter how great the problem is, it's human-sized. You've got to remember that there is a reward for fighting on God's side. There is a reward for sticking to his covenant and lining up with him. Those business people were on the benefit end of standing up for God and saying, there is an obstacle, you don't have business. The product's not selling. The online thing's not doing so well. But you start to declare, I don't trust in that enemy, that's just an enemy. What's the reward for following? Well, I'll tell you, in your business, is that he's going to make you prosperous so that you can have the, he gives you the power to get wealth that you go and establish his covenant upon this earth. Don't go and do anything else with it. And start now. If you're in business, don't think it's for the latest yacht or the latest car. There's not enough time. You can have all that as a byproduct. Make sure your first priority is to do what you said. You go after God and start to establish his covenant on the earth. That's what David did. He defied the enemy that was defying God. So God, when fear comes upon your life, get a God type of perspective and hit it front on. Just get straight back into God And always remember this, God plus one is the majority. No matter how big you are or how small you are, with God behind you and backing you and on your side, the enemy hasn't got a chance. But you've got to get into that place of realizing that he is actually with you. The next part of the opposition came in verse 28. His oldest brother Eliab heard when he spoke to the men. He overheard him listening to the rewards. And Eliab's anger was aroused against David, and he said, "Why did you come down here, and with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle." And this is the second piece of opposition that human beings get, is when people, particularly of their own family or their relatives or people who know you in your job or have been around you a little while, they will say these words. In other words, "We don't believe in you. I don't believe you can do it. You're just You're uneducated. You're just a young boy. You're just a youth. You're a woman. A woman couldn't do that. You're not pretty enough. You're not handsome enough. You're not strong enough. You're not big enough. You're not educated enough. You couldn't possibly be a missionary. You haven't done a doctorate in theology." What did David say? His response, he focused on the reward. He spoke faith and he kept going. Verse 29. And David said, "What have I done now? Am I not allowed to speak? Is there not a cause?" And he turned from his brother toward the others and said the same thing. For the third time he asked them, "What is the reward?" You have to sometimes turn away from those people and walk in a different direction. It has to be the direction of faith. Amen. You have to keep focused on God. Sometimes those negative words from your mom or your dad or your brother or your sister, or even sometimes your pastor, sometimes the boss or some well-known respected friend, they will speak of you as, "We don't believe that you can do that." Think about it. Gideon knew of himself as the least of the least of the least. But God said, "You're a mighty man of valor." Turn away from all of those negative words and start following the one that says this about you. That you are mighty men and women of valor. You do anything you put your heart to, if you believe in God and God's called you to do it, you just jump in and do it. Why? You're going to be successful. I saw you walking in there yesterday. I was having a cup of coffee with my brother Paul in his little car. And saw you walking, I said, "There goes Vi." We just stopped and said, "Bless her." She goes in there.
"Yes, I receive that in Jesus' name."
We were going to come around and see you, but we got a little bit shanghaied by the man who runs the bookshop. And we had, I don't know, it must have gone on for 45 minutes, I suppose, a conversation there about the Lord and mysticism and Gnosticism. And Paul was very engaged with this fellow, and I hope we get to speak to him again. But we ran out of time. But you're powerful. Just remember it. And listen, when someone tells you you're not, or someone brings a word of negativity or doubt or faith, you are allowed to turn away from it. Jesus was there. Jairus came to him and said, "My daughter's dying." And then other people came and said, "Don't bother the teacher. She's dead." He stepped right in. Jesus stepped right into Jairus and looked him in the face, in the eyes, and he said, "No, she's not dead. She's sleeping. Come with me." And he kept his eyes on this man, and they talked as they went. Now, the little girl had died. But Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life, knew that if he could just get to this little girl and this man was kept in faith, a miracle would happen. Keep your focus on the Lord. That's the friend and family syndrome. "We don't believe in you." But David said, "What's the reward? Because I'm the one that's going to go and do this." The third thing happens in verse 33, where the opposition comes like this. And Saul said to David, "You're not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you're a youth and a man of," he being Saul, "a man of war from his youth." He's saying, "You're not ready. Not only do we not believe you, families and friends, but someone who's an experienced man or woman in this business says, you're not ready." Now, ordinarily, we will listen to that person and honor that person and acknowledge that they've got some wisdom in this. But in this case, he was saying, you're not able to do it. Again, the whole gender and whether you're valuable and whether you've educated enough comes into play here. But listen, God gave David this response in verse 34. Listen to this, because this is a key, because that one comes up a lot. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of one of the flocks, I went after it. I struck it, delivered the lamb from its mouth, and when it rose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Lions and bears are fairly fierce animals, but this young boy, when one of his sheep was taken, he was responsible for those sheep. He went after that animal. He delivered it from the animal's mouth. For goodness sake, the lion was eating the sheep. Who wants to face a lion, a male lion? I mean, they're pretty fearsome. But David walks up there with his slingshot, and he's been practicing. All he practices is trees and rocks, but he's got pretty good at it. He comes out and he slingshots that thing. While it's dazed, he comes over there with his knife, and he delivers the actual lamb standing over this breathing lion that's just starting to regain consciousness, and gives it a good stick with his knife. Saul says, you're not ready. But David says, I am ready. It's just you didn't see me in my preparation. I can't see how God has prepared you. Well, I listened to that young lady sing up here tonight, Katie, beautiful. Beautiful. I haven't heard that sound in our church. It's a different sound. And I thought, what preparation has gone into her coming up here to sing that song of out of her heart to the Lord? I don't know. I wasn't there. I only just met really Katie this morning. I shook her hand. But God knows her. God's been preparing her. And God's been preparing you. Don't you listen when people say, you're not ready, you're not ready, you're not ready. There may be wisdom in it in terms of some further preparation, but if it's spoken out of it, you're not ready. When the person delivering that, King Saul, was one of the men that should have been out there fighting the giant, don't you think? And yet he was the one running away. Now he's telling David, you're not ready. Saul himself wasn't ready. We find the next thing here that Saul tries to dress up David in his own outfit. And this is in verse 38. Just quickly look there. Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head, clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his arm and tried to walk, for he'd not tested them. David said to Saul, I can't walk with these. I've not tested them. So he took them off. People will come up to you and say, you can't do it that way. It's got to be done this way, because this is the way it's always been done. It's always been done this way before. You need to do it this way. Listen, you do it the way that God tells you to do it. There are some tried and tested ways that you can get things done with the Lord. And you should listen to those. But if that's not working, then you just step out of that thing and you start to listen, hear, and obey the Word of God. I'm telling you, there is a move of the Spirit coming. We can't see it with our natural eyes, but I'm telling you, it's beating. It's at the door. There's hardly a week goes by where I don't get a prophecy from somewhere around the world. What is going on down there in the Gold Coast? What's happening is the prophets are not actually, there's no phone calls happening, but they're hearing the Spirit of God speaking. And there's a move of God coming on the city. A tidal wave of His Spirit. There will not be time for you to go through 10 years of Bible college, do your doctorate, etc. You need to get out sometimes. There's a time where you need to be proved in your character. But David had been proved in the backyards of the desert with those lambs and the sheep and the lions and the bears. He was ready. God had prepared him. There was still some training time to go. But when God speaks to you, obey Him. Obey Him. Gideon defeated the Midianites with just 300 men. Jehoshaphat defeated an entire army with his worship team in front. They killed each other. Joshua brought down a wall by silently marching around it with his army. And David defeated this Philistine with a stone. The final opposition is the devil himself, and Goliath came and started to taunt him and say, Well, so you've broken through every other bit of opposition I've given you. Now you're going to face me face to face, are you? Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to cut your head up. I'm going to spit you out. I'm going to trot all over you. You're worthless. I'm going to destroy you. You're going to fail. And the enemy comes directly at this point. And what does David do? He hasn't lost his nerve at all. Oh, God has been training him in the back of the desert, and so he's been training you, my friend. Don't think less of yourself than you should. Respect yourself and respect the way that God's been developing you. And we read it there. I love these words. David in verse 45 says to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and a spear and with a javelin." Wow. And they described how big these things were and how intimidating and how enormous they were and how big this man was. And David says, "You come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin." And Goliath's probably sitting there saying, "Yes, I do, and I'm going to whip your tail." But David rightly says this, "But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all the assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give it into our hands." Hallelujah. And friend, the Bible says and goes on to say he was a man after God's own heart. Caleb and Joshua had the Spirit of the Lord. And God gives you the Spirit of God that you will rise up and you will look the enemy in the eye. And he might say, "I'm going to kill you, I'm going to destroy you, I'm going to depress you, I'm going to take loved ones from you." And you'll rise up in your spirit and you say, "You're not defying me." You said terminal cancer. Well, you say the doctors can't heal that. Well, let me tell you, you're coming to me with the words of human knowledge. "But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, and this battle is not mine. This is the battle of the Lord's, and his covenant is with me. And you made a big mistake taking me on." Doesn't matter how small you are, how old, or how womanly, or how you're a woman. If you're educated or uneducated, doesn't matter. The Pharisees said, when they marveled at the disciples, "Who are these uneducated Galileans? They're doing miracles. Are they allowed to do that? Does anyone know about this? End of the Lord, end of the Lord. Who cares? It's happening." You're powerful.
Amen.
But listen, you've got to develop that. You've got to develop it. God will do a lot with this church. If you will learn to hear and obey the Lord, that's what today's all about. Today's not about money, but baskets, or last James and the team to come. Miracle offering, by the way, is not about an offering. Miracle offering today is about you engaging with God. It's learning to hear the voice of the Lord and obey him. It's about the next thing after this. God always seems to test in this way. I don't know why. It's the area of finance seems to be the treasure that people hang on to, but God wants us to release it. It puts us in a place where we're free. And we're free to hear the next thing that he says. You know why I think it is? Because I've been through it so many times, is that money should never stop you doing what God's called you to do. Heard in the last few weeks why people are not going on mission trips. Most of them are money. I can't abide that. If you're in covenant with the Lord, money will never be the problem. Because if you truly trust the Lord your God as your provider and he's called you to go, it'll happen. You believe him until the moment you step on that plane to go. Or you start walking, as I told our commandos that went out and preached the gospel up in Murgon. This is for the development of your faith. God will use you in miraculous ways if you can just get yourself out of the picture and allow him to be the mighty God in your life and in your battle. And he wants to win this world. Everybody, take out your mission miracle offering cards today. Where's my one? We're a church. Is that my one? Jane, I've been preparing for this. We prayed about this family, and we came up with a figure that even has sense on the end of it. I remember Kutzi's testimony that last year she got a figure plus a cent. She thought, oh, that's ridiculous, a cent. So she didn't put in the cent. She got home and God said, why didn't you do that? So being Kutzi, she, the next day or whatever, made sure that she transacted this by credit card or whatever online, the 1 cent. Why would she do that? Silly, isn't it? That's silly, isn't it? No, no. When it comes down to this is how you're going to win this battle against this army, you're going to march your musicians out in front of the army, and you say, oh, I'm sure he didn't just mean that. I'm sure he meant our strongest men with the swords first. Can you see how it could go terribly, terribly wrong? If you're not listening to the voice of the Lord over that 1 cent. Why? Is the cent important to the church? Probably not. But the fact that she obeyed the Lord is very important to me. Very important to God. It means that when she says, I believe God said this, I will listen very, very carefully to that. Because there will be times that will save your life. So today, husbands and wives, would you please just spend a moment together, if you're on your own, just spend a moment praying and just asking the Lord, what is he asking you to give in this? That's what this is about. For some of you, it might be $100. For some of you, that might even be too much, but he still said it. Some of you, he might say to someone here, I want you to put in $50,000. He might say, that's too much. Well, I can counsel you afterwards. But do what you feel the Lord says to do. There's no pressure from me, folks. I want to raise this church up to be invincible in the hands of the Lord when the flood comes in. Souls start pouring into this place. And we're needing to see deliverance in that. I need to know we're all together. So it doesn't matter. I don't mind what you put down. God says, I don't want you to put anything in there, great. I feel that everybody will be putting something in because I had a conversation with the Lord last night. So why don't you just take a moment? We're going to listen.